The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hart Franklin from ISO on Movies, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 155. This episode is certainly going to be a very fun, a very comical, and a very unique episode. It's going to be unique because it's kind of how do I want to describe this episode? It's kind of like a re-airing, so to speak. A friend of the show, Mike McGee, who has a great YouTube channel called Mike McGee TV, where he reviews movies, talks about Batman, does a lot of great content over there. In fact, I love Guilty Pleasure Treasure. That's one of his shows. But anyways, he has a show called Remake Revolution, all right? And Brian E. Lau from Staunch Ambition and myself got to be on the show in February as we took on Jason and Max from Three Geeks Podcast. And basically, the premise of the show is that we take a movie, a bad movie, in this case, Howard the Duck, and we pitch a remake to it. And it was loads of fun, and so I asked Mike, I was like, hey man, I know it's been 4 or 5 months since that episode aired. If you don't mind, could I borrow the audio from it? I'd like to put it on the PVD Cast. So that's what you're going to hear today. You're going to hear Brian and I on Remake Revolution. It's actually episode number 6. We're going to be taking on the Three Geeks Podcast in what was one of the most fun and unusual episodes of a podcast that I've ever been on, or anything for that matter. So definitely check out Mike McGee. You can find him on Twitter at Mike McGee TV, and just go over to YouTube, search Mike McGee TV, and you'll find all of his stuff. And again, help independent creators out there, man. You know, that's what this podcast is all about. Mike's doing it on his own, so go over there, subscribe to his channel, and just enjoy the content that he's putting out there. But I do also have some news that I'd like to share with you. In fact, dare I say it's a PVD Cast exclusive for this episode. In about 4 weeks, Wizard World Columbus will be happening here in Columbus, Ohio, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. And Jason and Max would like to have a rematch against Brian and I in another episode of Remake Revolution. And while there are some things in the planning stages right now of having this become a really big event, rest assured, it's happening that weekend. Whether we do it big time or we just get together at someone's house and do it, we're doing a rematch for Remake Revolution. And just, you know what? I'll let you know right here on the PVD Cast when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and all that jazz. But it is going to be something that I'm looking forward to. I won't lie. So anyways, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think it would only be, of course, proper of me and polite of me to also mention real quickly, though, as we start to wrap up the introduction here and get into the actual episode, I will state that it may be an episode that is, well, how should I say, not for the weak at heart. That's right. This episode is very funny. It's very comical, but it may not be safe for some people like the kids or like co-workers if you're listening at work. So just throwing that out there real quick. Is it NWFS or something, or what is it? Not safe for work? What is it? Not NSFW. Whatever the abbreviation is. AWA, NAACP, whatever it is. I don't know. But anywho, definitely just wanted to throw that out there just real quickly, as if you already heard the warning at the beginning of the episode, but just wanted to reiterate that so that I don't get any angry emails or tweets from people. But before we get into the episode, let me tell you about today's sponsor. And today's sponsor is, of course, Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD Cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check out their awesome service. You know, since I've been talking about Mike McGee, one of his guilty pleasures is The Room, and he also loves the movie The Disaster Artist. Well, if you didn't know, that was a book before it was a movie. That's right, Audible has it. You can listen to The Disaster Artist, narrated by Greg Sestero, who was one of the writers on that book. There you go. What more motivation do you need than to just go on over to audibletrial.com/PVDcast to pick up your free download, which you could download The Disaster Artist, or whatever book you want. But nonetheless, help me out, help the PVDcast out by going over to audibletrial.com/PVDcast and get your hands on a free audiobook. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Brian Lau, myself, Jason, Max, Mike McGee, all on Remake Revolution number 6.
It's been a long time since we've done a Remake Revolution, but I'm glad we're back, and glad we're back with a great topic and two great teams. First of all, you know a couple of my regular folks from Team 3 Geeks. We have Mr. Jason Taylor and Mr. Max Andrews.
What's up? How you guys doing?
What up? What up?
All right. Boo. And then over on the opposing like side.
Already. Oh, no. Why, Brian? Why? Why? Boo. It's a friendly competition, Brian.
Hey, I like
all
it.
Right.
Get some blood in the wrong
nice
water
right now.
John did that.
No, I did not.
Pacino right now, Brian.
All right.
So you heard a little bit from our opposing team, Team Staunchcast. That would be John Orlando from the PVD Podcast and Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition. Welcome, gentlemen, to the revolution.
Thank you very much for having us.
Before we get into the actual contest here, either of you gentlemen have any events or great stuff taking place in your own content or social media that you want to let the listeners out there know about?
Brian, you want to go first? Or
Go ahead, man. Tell them about...
Well, of course, I am the creator of the PVDcast podcast, which is based here in Columbus, Ohio. Every single episode, I try to tackle one of my passions, whether it's comics, professional wrestling, hockey, or movies. Right now, episode 146, I have up. It features Frank James Bailey. He is a creator from Lima, Ohio, who has created in what he likes to call illustrated novel. It's very kid-friendly. It's called Turkana. And he came on the podcast to talk a little bit about that, so you could check it out over at pvdcast.com or through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, or even Michigan's own, the network, Echo Network, excuse me. So check it out. There's lots of great episodes up, and just head on over and check one out.
Say that again. What was that last network?
The Echo Network.
Echo. That's how it should be done from now on.
Wow.
Hey, that's just the way it is, man. The Echo Network. Are we up for me?
Yeah, you tell them about Staunch Ambition. Come on.
Staunch Ambition. All right, guys. Staunch Ambition is my passion. It's a supernatural sci-fi epic independent comic book I'm working on. I have a great team working with me. I'm the creator, writer. I have a co-writer. My editor, Leah Letterman, is a very professional and intellectual writer. So I decided to bring her on for issue 3 as a co-writer. Help bring more realistic approach to the sci-fi universe we're building and get that female perspective. And then I have Erwin Arosa as my penciler and Neil Anderson as my colorist. Amazing artists. The book is magnificent, gorgeous. I've had some great talent working on it. I brought in some big names from the industry to do some of the covers. Koi Pham did the cover to my preview issue. Yeah, and then I had Freddie Williams did my cover to issue 1. And then issue 3's coming out. Kickstarter's launches March 23rd, so right around the corner. I'm building that Kickstarter. I got two original songs scored for the book by Silver Meow, kind of like industrial techno.
Be on the
That's coming
for
out on March 23rd is the Kickstarter, and I have to have this Kickstarter successful or else I cannot continue doing this.
Where can people find the Kickstarter link, even catch up with the story so far in the first couple of
weeks? Well, if they go to all my social media, they'll see posts. Obviously, I'll be sharing it. My website, I'll be putting it up on there. It's everything is Staunch Ambition. ambition. So everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that is Staunch, S-T-A-U-N-C-H, Ambition, A-M-B-I-T-I-O-N.
Great original sci-fi content being brought to you by some great original creators.
Crazy badass art. Like, the art in these books is ridiculous. Now, I know that we're enemies because Brian threw down the gauntlet already, but I gotta say, he puts out a good product.
You're not gonna warm up to me, man. We're head to head here. We're mortal enemies right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given that compliment if it wasn't freaking earned. All right, like I did it with.
Thanks, man.
I had to. It's not a want to. It's a had to.
No, I'll joking aside, man. I appreciate it. I mean, we have a lot of geekdom in common, and that's I think both of our passions. So it means a lot to me when people who are like serious about comics and love it. So that's it couldn't be any better, man, when I get compliments from someone like you. So thank you. We got some cons coming up that we might see you guys at too. I don't know if we should mention it now, but we're gonna be at Space.
Space. What is that an acronym for again?
Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo here in Columbus, Ohio. It's the last weekend of April, which I believe is the 28th and 29th. And it's going to be at the Northland Performing Arts Center here in Columbus, Ohio. That's in North Columbus, right off of Morris Road. It's a beautiful venue. Lots of people are going to be there. I mean, they get creators from pretty much all around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And that's no joke. There's been some folks from South America in years past come up, from what I remember, and even folks from Canada, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana, all around the Midwest. It's a great convention. If you got the opportunity, you should stop on out.
We ran across this for the first time last year when we were visiting you guys, and it was a lot of fun. Me and Dan went, and we had a blast just talking with all the creators. We've seen a few of the local Columbus guys that we see at the cons. Found a whole bunch of new people and new books that we didn't know were out there. So it's definitely a good opportunity to see what's going on locally and give your local artists and comic book writers some support.
So here on the Remake Revolution, basically the idea that's pretty much the way Hollywood's going right now. Everything's a remake or a reboot or a reimagining. Why not just do it ourselves? Because sometimes our ideas are more fun or more interesting than what Hollywood actually comes up with. So here on the remake for this episode, we decided to take a little bit of a chance with another great legendary sci-fi property that is, of course, Howard the Duck. Target acquired. Before we get into each team's proposal for a Howard the Duck remake or reboot, I am curious as to everyone's kind of personal connection or history with Howard the Duck. Let's start with the Three Geeks team here.
I saw the original movie when I was 6, and I don't remember it very well, and my parents wouldn't let me watch it.
Because there's duck boobs in it?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it's because there's the duck boobs.
I thought it was Donald Duck when I rented it. That's why I had it. And then to find out later that it was a George Lucas presentation explains a lot about the Jar Jar Binks
qualities.
I've only actually seen like clips on YouTube of Howard the Duck. I've never read the comic book. Oh.
Isn't Marty McFly's mom the love interest? In
yeah, Leah Thompson. Yes. Yeah, and so I've just seen like these super hilarious clips of the worst like duck outfits and these dudes trying to like move around and make this work and a really really crappy 80s movie. So yeah, it's just laughing at it that is my whole experience with Howard the Duck.
Team Staunchcast, your Howard the Duck history.
Well, for me, I saw the original movie. I think I was maybe 9 or 10, maybe. And I was really perplexed by it because I have a cousin that's older than me. And he was an avid comic book nerd. And so I was familiar with the cigar chomping, like detective Howard the Duck. So as a kid, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it was totally, the movie had very little to do with the comic from what little bit I knew. So it was very confusing for me. But as a side note, I would like to say I won a pretty sweet trivia contest last year because I knew, and I was the only one that knew, that Howard the Duck took place in Cleveland, Ohio, which I won a sweet 48-hour film festival pint glass because I knew that. So there you go.
Of course it takes place in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to know.
It's like, you should be ashamed. You committed that to memory.
Yeah, let that out. That should not be public information.
How about for you, Brian?
Okay. So I'm a little older than you guys. So I was actually a little older. So maybe a little less impressionable. But so my brother and I, huge comic book fans and, you know, whatever cartoons or comic book entities or stuff could come out, we would run to it. I remember that this was my ultimate memory of Howard the Duck, the movie, thinking of all of the characters and concepts in comic books, they're going to do Howard the Duck as a major motion picture movie. And it's just was one of the most disappointing things ever. and the movie followed suit. So it's like for my brother and I growing up looking for just something great and reflected the genius of comic books, you know, it just wasn't happening. And so Howard the Duck just kind of underlined all that for me in my childhood. So all the more funny now that we see the brilliance of comics in major motion pictures and how much more Howard the Duck sucks because of that.
Yeah, because from what I recall, just getting into my quick history of Howard the Duck is, yeah, I heard through the movie first and foremost when I was younger. I didn't mind it so much because I was little and didn't really give it much thought afterwards. But then when I got into the actual comics where he's very much like deconstructing the media of comics in the comic, like it was a trippy book. And then going back to the movie and seeing like, oh, we got this instead. Oh, that's disappointing. Yeah.
And all the while that Lucas is creating this, he's robbing us of Star Wars films. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, I mean, but like, obviously, this was a sign of his madness. I mean, you know, we should have seen where, like, the prequels happening beforehand because of stuff like Howard the Duck.
The fever set in with Howard the Duck and continued on through Willow, the young Indiana Jones, and the prequels. Meanwhile, you can just tell the air is palpable with so many people clamoring for Howard the Duck to return.
Oh yeah.
So that's why we're talking about it on this episode. We're gonna beat Marvel Studios to it, because I'm sure Marvel Studios has an idea for Howard the Duck.
Are you sure, Mike, that they haven't like bugged this particular podcast and that all of our ideas are gonna show up here?
Yeah,
in a year or two.
They're totally like listening to a YouTube channel that only has so many hundred subscribers.
I was gonna say, John, they don't have to bug it because he puts it on the internet for free.
Yeah.
Oh. There's that.
Just take it. What we do on The Revolution is we break it down into three or four basic components that make or break a movie. And we'll go one at a time here, and I'll write down everyone's ideas at the end of these four rounds. I play the judge as to which are the best pitches, the best director-writer teams, the best cast members, and if I like what you're selling, I'll go with your marketing, and then hopefully we'll have a winner.
You got my PayPal money forwarded to you, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, that, I got your PayPal. I got your Bitcoin, which thanks for that. Because that's gonna go over so well in this market.
You guys dropped Bitcoin. I'm just gonna give up now. We only did the PayPal.
I just sent Mike a VHS tape in the mail.
Oh, shit. I see how you guys are.
Yeah, but we weren't dropping Bitcoin, though.
We figures Howard the Duck would bring us to our lowest low. Gonna win this one, baby.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So round one is the pitch.
The windup, the pitch.
I'm going to go to Team Staunchcast first. What is your pitch for a Howard the Duck movie in this day and age?
John, you should lead, and then I'm gonna jump in and interrupt whenever I feel necessary.
Okay, you got it. Our pitch is this, that we are going to, first of all, Howard the Duck will be totally CGI'd. There's not going to be any of that actor in a stupid suit shit. That ain't happening. It's all CGI. We have the technology. We're going to use it. So that way, at least Howard the Duck looks good. But trust me, he'll sound good too, because we have a great actor to be the voice of Howard the Duck, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
But his cigar is actually a practical effect.
Yes, his.
Anywho, make sure we make people who hate CGI, we got to have some practical effects in there. Will actually be a real cigar.
Because that would be the main complaint in this day and age. You'd be like, yeah, Howard the Duck looks fine, but his cigar smoke looks fake as fuck.
So I'm just like, so like in when they're, you know, making the movie, it's gonna be like a tennis ball on a string with a lit cigar.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
that's Brian's brilliant idea. Furthermore, this is gonna get us so much press because, you know, all of those people that are anti-smoking will just come out in droves to protest. And
yes,
hey, there you go, man. Right to the box office, folks. Brilliant idea.
Especially since it's probably illegal to have, like, you can't have the lit cigar in the soundstage now.
Oh, shit. So when Howard dies at the end of lung cancer, that's, we need to rewrite this, I think.
That got dark.
Damn it.
It'll be like The Room. We'll bring up that he has lung cancer, and then we'll just never resolve it. We'll just leave it. He has lung cancer, and we just move on. I did a little bit of research because I know that Howard is out now in a new book from Marvel. So I decided that probably Brian and I decided that maybe pulling in some of those aspects would help with the marketing of it. So basically, it's a little bit of an origin story, not a lot. Keeping it kind of with the original feel of the 1985 movie, it's Howard is going to end up on Earth, but he's got to try to find a way back to Duck World. The villain in this version is Kang the Conqueror. Picked him because of the abilities that he has to use scientific technology that doesn't exist at the time to time travel. There are multiple Kangs throughout the Marvel universe because there's one per each like timeline or whatnot. So I think it would give us some flexibility to present Kang as a pretty darn good opponent for Howard.
That allows us to do some really good marketing with we're going to be teaming up with Tang
right.
to sponsor the movie.
Right. Because millennials don't know what the hell Tang is, by the way.
What a timely promotion.
Market this.
These are Kang. Millennials are eating Tide Pods. They're not going to remember Tang. Okay? The movie begins in 1880s California, the Wild West. We discover that Howard's mom is actually involved with a version of Kang. Howard's mom decides to leave Kang when he finds out that he has been cheating on her with Mantis, and she falls in love with another anthropomorphic duck named Harrison. Their love creates an egg, the unborn Howard the Duck. But this egg is kind of like a very weird type of egg, because as we talk about the cast, you'll see why. So it's like a duck egg, but it does have a little bit of like human qualities to it. In other words, it moves around a little bit like a baby would kick inside of a stomach. It will kick inside the shell, and you'll see that.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Actually, isn't the I thought we discussed the plot point was that Kang thinks that this is his child. And when his love interest gives birth to an egg, Kang gets really pissed, realizing that this is not his child.
That puts the heat on her instead of the heat on Kang, and Kang's the villain. You got to put the heat on the...
No. She cheated on him because he's, you know, he wasn't fulfilling her needs. And so she turned
to... Did you just hear that?
This...
Max is just telling Jason we got this. These two are dissension in the ranks. We're fucked. We're winning, hands down.
This is getting into some Jon Snow level theorization right now.
Okay, like, wow. Well, let's table that for right now. So nonetheless, Kang wants... basically, when he finds out that she has had this egg, he decides that he wants to take the egg and study it, possibly maybe doing harm to the unborn child, Howard. So a fight ensues. Harrison is killed. Margaret and the egg escape via spacecraft to Duck World. And while on Duck World, Margaret raises Howard as her son. She kind of dies of old age. And a few years later, Kang shows up to get the egg, not knowing that Howard has been born, and creates all kinds of ruckus on Duck World. Howard discovers that Kang is in Duck World. The Duck Warriors, which are these kind of like strapping, huge, genetically jacked, like Roman soldiers, are trying to fight Kang, who has his army of dinosaurs, because, well, goddammit, it's Kang. He can jump through time, so he's going to bring dinosaurs to a fight. Howard ends up running into Kang. They tussle. Accidentally, Howard clicks something on Kang's suit, whisk both them off to Earth. Howard comes to. He realizes that he's on Earth. There's no Kang. Throw in the fact that he meets Gwenpool, and it teams up with him, gives him a place to stay and whatnot. And we get like a really brief rundown of the origin of Gwenpool. Nothing more than like a couple of minutes. Howard explains to Gwenpool that he's got to get back to Duck World. Basically, they discover that there's a plot by Kang to destroy the Earth, and he's going to do so by killing the president, and that actually the vice president is actually actually not really the vice president, but it's another Kang from a timeline. So there's actually two Kangs on Earth set to destroy. So Gwenpool and Howard end up battling the two Kangs. Here's kind of where our pitch kind of goes south a little bit. You know,
this is where it goes south.
Well, everybody, because he's a duck, he travels south during the winter. And so we decided that the pitch should go south.
Exactly.
He's Howard the duck, and we want to keep suit. You know, we want to bring realism to our movie. We're not just making another freaking Howard the Duck movie, guys. Come on.
The idea would be that somehow Ronnie, who is actually the tailor from the Gwenpool series, which show up somehow distracting the original Kang, which allowed Howard to get his ultra diode gun and blast him, and both Kangs disappeared, implying that they are in another part of time. The movie ends with a philosophical conversation between Gwenpool and Howard, and Howard laments that he's not able to get back to Duck World at the time, but will keep trying. And they end as friends, leaving it open for a sequel, and also leaving it open because I had no other idea how to end this thing.
Wow.
Brian, did I miss anything?
That is a completely different story than what I thought we talked about.
Wait a minute. Time out. I did send this stuff to Brian on Wednesday and was like, hey, you want to look over this stuff? And Brian, what was your reply?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just was going off of when we had a conversation, but
we had that conversation Monday, and then I sent you. I emailed you.
Yeah. My bad on that one. Let me throw in a couple of things in here. Like, everything is great, but one of the pitches is Kang is surprised that it's not his offspring. I think we're going with that. Yeah, because now he wants to kill not only Howard the Duck, he wants to kill all of the planet ducks.
Gives him drive as the villain to be a compelling villain.
Oh, yeah, he's going to kill every duck on Earth, even when he gets to Earth. I think, John, we have an issue here where the alternate Kang on Earth is in the middle of a plot take over. He is vice president in the workings to have the president assassinated and become president himself.
Correct, yes.
And then this other Kang comes and is going to get reconstructive surgery to look like the president, who is a female, which we will discuss later.
How many Kangs are we up to right now?
Oh, man. We're going for at least... We got two. But
two.
One had reconstructive surgery.
It's just two?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's the vice president.
new drinking game, folks. Every time you hear the word Kang, take a drink. You'll be drunk in 7.5 minutes.
Kang. All right, so those are a few of the little pitches that I think are essential.
There's time travel, there's parallel worlds, there's Illuminati-style conspiracies going on within the government. Oh, yeah. There's the potential for some fourth wall awareness there with, I guess, both Howard and Gwenpool teaming up. And you left it wide open for a sequel. I'd say it's like a great Doctor Who episode that I haven't seen yet. Three Geeks, what do you have to follow up that?
Oh, wow.
How do you rise to meet the challenge of that?
I don't know that we have anything. You can hop in with 15 Kangs here in a second.
You only have two? Fuck it, we're going to 20.
We're going to do 20.
Our pitch is basically 48 hours in space. We want to do like a buddy cop kind of detective movie, but in space. I feel like Howard the Duck likes this galaxy or this universe, so he doesn't want to get back to Duck World. He's more of just like a lech and a degenerate, and he likes being here, so he's just gonna fucking hang around.
So this isn't necessarily origin story, kind of what they were proposing in theirs. He's established.
Yes, he's, because like we've already seen him in two or three cameos in the Marvel movies. I mean, like, I guess he could like make it like him trying to get back home, but I don't really like that story. Yeah, so we're just like, he likes being here, he wants to be here, and it's not gonna be an origin movie. It's just gonna be like, these are the characters, here they go. With the Nova Corps, we're gonna be using them as the kind of vehicle to go with. So it'll have Glenn Close as the police chief, and we're gonna use John C. Reilly as the partner to Howard the Duck.
Well, we purposely skipped any casting.
Oh yeah, that's true. We are gonna
You're trying to win me over early here, Max. I'm gonna forget you said anything about certain actors.
That's my fault. That is an infraction. I will I'll take that back and strike that from the record.
Yellow card on Three Geeks.
Pending arrival of Thanos, Howard the Duck and a detective must team up to travel the universe to look for somebody that may be able to help them in their
quest.
Yeah.
Because this is going to obviously have to take place after the first Infinity Wars movie. Figure, you know, like everyone's going to be down and out. And, you know, this will be like, hey, we need to try to find as much as we can to bolster our forces.
So you're kind of going for this is set firmly within the MCU timeline of things.
Yes. Yeah. We're throwing it in the connection. And I feel like that'll help with the marketing and the, you know, getting people to come watch the movie and all that good stuff too. There are zero Kangs. Zero Kangs.
No Kangs.
Not only zero, -10.
I'm gonna use my Edna mode from the Incredibles voice. No Kangs.
Yes.
I gotta give props to Jason and Max and the Nova Corps. I never thought of that. That's an overlooked group of superheroes oftentimes in the Marvel Universe.
Next round here, the writer and director of the new Howard the Duck.
Lights, camera, action.
Let me go to the Three Geeks first here.
All right, so they're going to be trying to redeem themselves after the Han Solo fiasco. So we have hired Phil Lord and Chris Miller to write this movie because, you know, they've done some really good work with the Jump Street series and the Lego movie. With a Chance of Meatballs.
I think, like, they can do, like, you know, like more family kind of comedy and a little more edgier comedy, which is what I'd more like to steer this towards in this movie. So I think they would be a good team for that, for the writers.
And then somebody else kind of looking for redemption because Valerian was kind of a mixed bag as far as audience went with. But we went with Luc Besson from Fifth Element. So the combination.
Just because of the visuals. I mean, this is going to be, you know, like all over space and like lots of crazy zany things going on. And Luc Besson knows how to do action. He knows how to do like these crazy visuals and he knows how to do a lot of CG and stuff like that. So I feel like he's a good director for this. This is right up his alley.
And then for producer.
And Leon the Professional. Come on.
For producer, we have King the Conqueror.
Because the producer King needs to be...
They keep trying to cut in on your King guy, John.
I know.
So much money to this movie.
That's all we got.
But he just needs to show up in credits as just Kang.
Yeah. Yes.
I think Jason and Max need to find somebody who has the last name of Kang and make them the producer. Just to rub it in. Like, hey, man, you don't even have to give us any money. You just get a producing credit because your last name is Kang. Eddie Kang. And there you go, man.
He's going to get his own card in the movie, too. It's just going to be like, this film was brought to you by Kang.
Or you just attribute it to the Mortal Kombat character. Producer Liu Kang.
So John, I think we might agree. I'm going to go with we didn't discuss specifically a writer, but you might agree with us. What do you think if we have Edgar Wright as our writer? He's definitely a director, but he's a prolific writer, and something that he's written: Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End, Baby Driver. He was slated to do Ant-Man, but had a fallout.
That was half his movie anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, the guy's an amazing writer, so I'm thinking...
Well, let's talk. Why don't you tell folks what you thought we should use for the director?
Is the twist on our movie, okay? We didn't want just any director. Instead of hiring a living director, through many seances in a Ouija board, they resurrect the spirit of
Billy Wilder.
Billy Wilder, classic director. Director of The Apartment.
That's a good movie.
Full identity. Some like it hot.
That movie. Some like it hot.
But you know what? If he's not available
Actually,
Edgar Wright.
There was a fallout with Alfred Hitchcock because they actually resurrected him in a clone, used his DNA, but he got pissed about some creative differences and left. So they had.
It was a cigar, wasn't it?
It was a cigar.
And he wanted the CGI cigar, and
it'll take a Marvel movie to get a director for this Marvel movie.
Well, this movie is fully directed, like I said, through seance and Ouija boards.
So. Marvel is going to touch the ethereal plane.
Like every DC movie, then.
No, that's just pacts with Satan.
No, because I thought Satan was supposed to like give you some benefit, though. You're supposed to look good, you know, in your earthly life, and then you go to hell.
Yeah, you lose something in the process, though, Max.
Yeah, everything does look good. Everything does look good in the DC movies, except it's all doo-doo.
Yes, except they're soulless.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly
it. Much like our director, Billy Wilder. So,
yeah. Billy Wilder's coming back for his next Academy Award.
Fair enough.
There we go.
I like the idea of Edgar Wright as our writer, so I'm good with that. Unless we have to place him as the director. And then if that's the case, I would say my choice for writer would be Jane Epsonson, who used to write Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm. I believe she wrote several episodes of Firefly, Angel, etc.
So you'll notice there, no vote for Brian Lau as writer on that one. Just saying.
What?
Oh. Max is trying to sow some tension between you guys.
Brian, we are one as a team. Come on.
Well, we hadn't discussed it, so I mean, I'll leave it.
I'm just presenting Mike with options in case he says, Brian, I don't like this idea of a ghost. We can't have paranormal activity in our. I'm just presenting.
Oh, well, then we're going to a different movie producer then. If you don't,
we're taking it to a different studio.
I love
screw you guys.
All right, there you go. Enough said.
You know, in reflection, I just realized, yeah, I never had any stipulation saying, oh, the director has to be alive or anything like that. So, yeah.
That was just right. Assumed.
You have
Mike
you have,
is full on. I'll allow it.
Yeah. It's like we have. It's like,
all right, then. Billy Wilder's our director. Edgar Wright's our writer. There you go.
I never made an official like rule book to throw out, so we haven't thrown out anything. So
I'm telling you that he could. The guy was so good he could direct through a Ouija board, and that's why we chose him.
All right,
that's fair.
What do you think of this shot?
Okay,
got it.
What lens should we use on this?
WIDE.
See, we just proved it out.
Oh, man. Give it 5 years that this is going to legitimately be the way someone directs a movie.
Especially now that's been put out there.
And the whole movie. It won't be a Ouija board. It'll be Alexa.
I refuse to believe that this is not how movies are already made. Like, I've seen some of these movies.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the whole movie is also going to be lit by candlelight.
All right. Yeah, we got it for sure.
And in every scene, they got to play light as a feather, stiff as a board. I don't want to move on to the cast because I'm having a laugh.
Oh, just wait until you hear our
cast. It's like I'm anticipating and dreading. So here we go. Let's get into our cast for Howard the Duck.
From Brad Pitt to Joyce DeWitt, it's time to meet your cast.
Team Staunch Cast, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, as we mentioned, Howard the Duck will be totally CGI'd. So, Brian, we got a great actor to voice Howard the Duck. Who is that?
Oh, and act him up.
So and act, yes.
Basically, we got the expert Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis is not Howard the Duck, dude.
No, not Andy Serkis. Oh. Wait, who is Howard the Duck again?
We have that. We have, of course, the man that would actually also physically be about the same in stature as Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah, the voice. I'm sorry. You said the voice.
Yeah, Danny DeVito will be acting as Howard the Duck and his voice.
I like that. I like that.
Yes.
But he's not doing the body motions. He's doing the voice.
Right.
He can do the body motions, though. I mean, like, what do you need from Howard the Duck?
No. He does the body motions.
You know Danny DeVito would certainly smoke a cigar.
Oh, dude. Oh. It could be an overweight reimagining of Howard the Duck. I dig it.
Yeah. No, we were on board with that. Yeah, I forgot.
Who's going to play his mom, Brian?
Okay, so the love interest, King's love interest.
Margaret, right?
Gives birth to is Sally Field.
Ah.
All right, because, she's the last person you expect to cheat on Kang. A little bit of misdirection with our casting there.
I decided that since we put in Gwenpool, we got to have an actress that is young, that appeals to the kids. So none other than Victoria Justice.
She is a singer, right? Originally, or
I think she's a singer, but she's on that very, very popular Disney Channel show, Victorious. I believe it's called.
Is it very, very popular?
Hint, victorious.
Hey,
subtle.
Hey, I hear it's popular. I don't know.
I'm not watching Disney Channel right now.
So Kang is going to be cast is also.
Do you remember who we cast as Kang?
I think so.
Kang 1. We're not talking about the new Kang.
Okay, you want to talk about Kang. The first Kang? You do Kang 1, then.
Multiple okay, games. Kang 1. Kang the Conqueror. I don't know if I can pronounce the gentleman's name correctly. I will try my best. We went with the idea of Daniel Kaluuya, who was from the movie Get Out.
Yes.
He's in the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Yep.
But
so I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly or not, but it's Kaluuya.
Yes. Yep. I think that's close. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
British guy, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And now playing not only the vice president and also himself and also the egg, also known as Kang 2, is who, Brian? Who?
Okay. So this is the deal. Those are all going to be CGI.
Right.
Even though Kang looks like this actor, Andy Serkis, they're going to CGI him and he's going to act himself through motion capture.
So as the egg.
So because Andy Serkis is going to win the Academy Award. Yeah, as the egg as well. But he's going to win the Academy Award finally for his CGI acting
as
because
himself.
He's never qualified because it was a fictional character. But it's going to be his actual CGI body that he's acting through motion capture.
Oh, that is going to be so terrifying.
Also, he plays Kang, who gets plastic surgery and looks like it's not actually her, but looks like Ellen DeGeneres.
That is the president. The president of the United States is Ellen DeGeneres.
The female president that gets assassinated, and then the second Kang comes into
transgendered.
Yes, he has a sex change and face reconstructive surgery. So
it's Howard the Duck. And the last breaking down the
last
walls.
Couple cast folks, I will take here because they have bit parts, but they're still very very important. As I mentioned, you know, early on, Kang attacks Duck World with his legions of dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a few of the warrior ducks that will have lines, and I figured that the three best gentlemen to voice these warrior ducks would be Michael K. Williams, a.k.a. Omar Little from The Wire.
Okay, I'm down for this.
Anyways, Charlie Heaton would be another voice for one of the warrior ducks, and lastly, Lewis Black would be the third voice for one of the warrior ducks.
That is my favorite casting.
Oh my god!
And then the last person we have to cast, because in the very short Gwenpool origin story, of course, her origin story is the fact that she received a uniform that was not Deadpool, but it was pink and black. Mm-hmm. She got it from the tailor that she went to Ronnie, who later would show back up in the big fight scene. I figured that there's no one better to play a tailor than Tim Gunn. And since Mike's the only one laughing, I think he's the only one that knows who Tim Gunn is. So, okay. There we go.
I heard the name. But... Okay, I'm
man enough to admit it. I've seen an episode or two of Project Runway, okay?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, there we go.
Never watched the Disney Channel, but I've watched a little Project Runway.
I might have seen Project Runway.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I got one last addition. I just got off the phone with this guy. Even though we're doing the CGI Howard the Duck and Ducks of Duck World, we decided to go with Nick Parks to do all the dinosaurs. The guy who created Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run.
Are they going to be claymation
dinosaurs?
You got to have good contrast in your battle. So we got CGI ducks versus claymation Nick Parks genius.
I love this movie.
Oh, man. Not supposed to love their movie, Mac. We're supposed to hate their movie. Hey, I
mean, they didn't have me until the claymation dinosaurs.
They did get me with Lewis Black. I feel like he should be in everything.
Yeah, yeah. Between Lewis Black and claymation dinosaurs, I
just want to see him as an angry duck,
an angry buff, jacked up like warrior duck. Yeah, probably spouting off some anti-Republican rant too, right then and there. That would be superb.
Will the duck be sweating a lot?
Do ducks sweat?
He'll be all disheveled. His armor will be half on.
They sweat out of their beak.
Yeah.
Or their bill. So he'll be drooling all over the place as he spits and talks.
Oh man, I can. It's so bad. I can hear the voice in my head already.
I know, right?
What's with all these dinosaurs out here? Who the fuck is this guy, Kang? That's one Kang too many.
Right.
What is your guys' Howard the Duck rated?
Yeah,
I think it's got to be a PG-13.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
We want it to appeal.
I mean, you know, when there's lovemaking going on, you know, and the egg, you know, that's not going to be shown. You know, it's going to be inferred and implied.
It's implied.
It's not gonna be hard R or triple X.
That
we do show the birth of the egg, though.
Well,
no, we don't. We're not doing that.
Well, not from the one angle, but you know,
real frontal.
We start the birth of the egg. You got it out of it. You gotta have the birth of the egg, Andy. That's
I like that Max is going, we have to up the ante. We saw duck boobs. Now we just gotta go with duck vagina.
Eddie coming right out of the duck vagina, just ruining that mess.
It's another great directorial choice from your ghost director.
Which camera angle do we use?
The director doesn't have to worry about being fired in Hollywood. He can go balls to the wall.
Exactly. Now you got it.
Dead directors, they don't give a fuck. Oh man, three geeks.
All right,
how do you even?
We have some work to do here. Yeah, we kind of got into it a little bit earlier, but we're gonna have John C. Reilly as the Nova Corps detective, and he teams up with Howard the Duck. I love John C. Reilly. I think I've suggested him in like four of these remake revolutions already.
Yeah, he won the last one. He was Mario.
So yeah, John C. Reilly, and he's already in the Marvel movies. So Glenn Close will play the police chief of the Nova Corps to voice Howard the Duck.
We have Bill Burr,
the stand-up comedian. A lot of Chappelle Show. He's done a couple movies you've seen him in, and I just love his stand-up. I feel like he's edgy and he's got the right level of anger, you know, for what we're looking for.
Someone out there on the internet right now, can you just do me a favor? If you're a CGI artist of some kind, can you just superimpose a CGI Howard Duck over Bill Burr on any TV interview he's ever on for me? Just personally, I won't pay you, but just do that, please. So,
one thing we definitely have to have here is a Donald Duck Easter eggs scene. So, like, there's got to be a Donald Duck somewhere. Like, when we first meet Howard the Duck, he's gonna have a poster of Donald Duck or something like that. That's just an homage to Jason's first terrible pitch that we discussed. We're also gonna have Emma Watson as the Nova Corps liaison and also like kind of love interest for Howard the Duck. She's gonna be the one who needs to actually talk to the person that they're trying to find at the end of the movie, who will be a character called X Nyla, who we dredged up from somewhere in Marvel lore, but she will be played by Beyonce, and she's gonna be there, you know, like the main thing that they're going after. She's hidden away and they gotta go find her. We want cameos by Benicio del Toro as the collector. Jeff Goldblum as the Grand Master. Wesley Snipes, because why not?
Is he going to be Blade?
As Blade?
No. We couldn't figure any good reason for Blade to be there.
Well, I mean...
We tried to crack
that story. We really did, but there's just no good reason for Blade, the character, to be there, but we still want Wesley Snipes. You know?
Three words. Blade in space.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, if there's no vampires around them, like, what's he doing? You know, so
yeah, you really shot yourself in the foot by not having a Kang in your movie, guys.
Hey, now. Hey.
I'm just saying. The possibilities are endless when you introduce a character like Kang in there.
But we think Wesley Snipes will play, like, you know, Jeff Goldblum's bodyguard or, you know, something like that, and we get him in there. We just like to throw him some work. And we definitely want some cameos from Leah Thompson and Jeffrey Jones.
I don't think you're going to get one from Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah. Oh, is he dead?
No, he's excommunicated from life for being a pederast.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Nah, fuck it. We still want him in there.
Holy shit. Hey, what rating is this movie?
Bryan can have a dead director, we can have a pedophile in our movie.
No, okay, we'll scratch Jeffrey Jones then. We'll just do Leah Thompson.
She's also in jail.
No, she's not. Hey, no Jay-Z? You're going to have Beyonce and no Jay-Z?
Who could dare throw Leah Thompson in jail? Like,
I don't know. Maybe she did a female prison movie or something.
Okay.
I like how defeated Mike sounds. Like, I don't even know what to do.
It's not defeat. Like, it's overstimulation. Both teams in that round, both teams, there's a lot to process. So I might have to take a little time for myself. Last round here, marketing.
Marketing the movie and release.
Three geeks, let's go to you. How do you market your Howard the Duck?
This allows Marvel to get into kind of Deadpool style marketing where they can just do kind of random zany things. I like commercials for like intergalactic products and just different things that kind of poke you around the universe, but they don't tell you anything about the movie. Also, I would like to, it's the big Marvel machine. So, you know, they're going to have money for, you know, your trailers and all that, you know, good stuff. That I'd like to stay away from the music video trailer, you know, like the Guardians of the Galaxy style trailer. I'd like to do something, you know, maybe just like go back to the 90s style where they kind of show you some random shit. You have no idea what's going on.
In a world.
So that's what we're thinking of the marketing. Definitely Howard the Duck allows you to do some more zany things. You can get a little more weirder, you know, products. Like I'd like a Howard the Duck, like toilet bowl cleaner and just like random things.
Staunchcast.
Go first, right. John. I got a couple ideas, but I want
to... You go ahead, because I'm working on a couple here real quick.
Okay. One of the things we decided to do is we're going to have Donald Duck is one of the ducks in the battle sequence, and he dies a heroic death, ripped in half by one of the dinosaurs. So Donald Duck is going to be one of our marketing angles as far as trying to appeal to those fans of Donald the Duck. You know, being Disney owns Marvel now.
Right.
And then we're going to do a lot of commercials and in the trailer and in the movie product placement of Kang drinking Tang. So that's going to bring a lot of money in for making, you know, hiring all our actors. And so those are the main two.
Yeah. But I think we also have some other options here. I mean, Gwenpool, obviously, you know, Deadpool's a hot property right now. So there we can certainly focus on not only Gwenpool, but Victoria Justice being in the movie. I think that a lot of our marketing would really excel having lots of Lewis Black yelling at our audience. That would work. And then lastly, all of our commercials must be narrated by Tommy Wiseau. That's our marketing pitch.
Well, we're also going to really push the Billy Wilder's hasn't directed a movie in, I think, about, you know, 50 years.
Somehow I think so that's going to be the big talking point. Like,
this is a big time comeback.
But don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Rocking for years.
You just haven't seen him.
50 years in the making.
He's been on another plane of existence. You just haven't noticed.
He's died to make this movie. He's been dead to make this movie.
With Billy Wilder, we could do commercials like, he has returned. He has risen. Oh, no, not Jesus Christ. We're talking about Billy Wilder. So there, that could be.
Ooh, get more protests. Oh, yeah, and you had said that we're going to get a lot of protests.
Yeah.
And that's going to really build hype for this movie.
There you go.
Evangelicals either, I don't know, they may love you or hate you on that front. I can't tell you.
No press is bad press, man.
All right.
But you guys said I couldn't have the pedophile in my movie.
I know.
You can. I said
you
can.
Might want to reconsider that.
No, I said you could, Max. It's all good.
No, we're definitely not running the pedophile.
I got kids. I don't need that.
Like, I'll take the dead guy over the pedophile.
Any day of the week.
So give me a couple of minutes here.
If you have any questions on our movie, you know, just feel free to ask on gaping holes.
I think the egg just came out of there.
Is this the remake revolution with the most tangents?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Hey, wait. See, I think that's where our plot is really good because, you know, let's be honest, 75% of all the kids out there are ADHD. So ours will be right there, man. They'll get it. They'll understand it.
That is a good point. They'll be like, dinosaurs? What? The president's dead? Oh, whoa. It's like they'll be locked in.
A female lesbian president and you kill her.
Yeah, that's
all
her
mind. That wasn't mine.
But then somebody becomes transgender to take her place.
See, this is really like right on the market.
Topical.
We're helping their movie, Max.
I mean, like, there's no hurting their movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's freaking bulletproof.
I think I have an idea here. I think I know how I'm going to swing this.
Oh, my gosh. Don't All swing right. it too hard.
Yeah, I'll be gentle. Here we go. I'm going to determine a winner amidst all of this. Let's go to round one here, the pitches. So to recap, pitches, I think you both agreed on CGI duck.
No, we want practical and CGI.
You're just doing that to be contrarian now, aren't you?
Yep, sure am.
All right.
Well, but we didn't mention earlier.
All right. We had a mix as well. Our cigar is practical.
See, I was about to get to the cigar. The cigar's real. The duck's fake. So it's a nice hybrid of practical and CGI. You both agreed on that in your own special ways. Staunchcast went with sort of an origin story that involves time travel, parallel worlds, Kang as kind of the main conduit for all the wackiness that ensues with regards to the presidential assassination, replacing him with another Kang, the heritage of Howard the Duck through the egg, Duck Warriors, Gwenpool as a sidekick, and Three Geeks, 48 Hours in Space. Howard is at peace with this particular universe. The wackiness is contained within universe with the Nova Corps, takes root in the main story going on with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that you want to stop Thanos from achieving something. So, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
For curiosity's sake, I have to go with the staunch pitch. There is just so much there going on there that I'm like, it would be kind of amazing to see that be pulled off on a big screen. Dinosaur battles.
Yeah, claymation dinosaur battles.
Claymation dinosaur battles versus not practical, but CGI ducks. I'd have to go with the staunch pitch. So, 1 point to the staunch cast team.
Woohoo! This is a fucking farce.
Hey, you did get my Bitcoin.
Just went through. It's worth however percentage of
this
a cent.
This whole thing is fake news.
I got him a Bitcoin miner too, so set for life.
All right. The second round here, writer and director. Again, Three Geeks went with Phil Lord and Chris Miller as the writers, Luc Besson as the director. Staunch, going the extra mile with either Edgar Wright or Jane Ebsen. How do you say it again? Jane Ebsenson as the writer?
I think so, yeah.
And the late but great Billy Wilder returning for one more rodeo as the director. I've rationalized this. I got to go with the Three Geeks pitch for director and writer on that one. The reason being, though, I am not saying Billy Wilder, even dead, can't pull off Howard the Duck. But I have a feeling this is coming from the business standpoint. The mere marketing side of it is going to overshadow the movie itself, and sometimes you don't want one name to overshadow the whole property. And while I agree Billy Wilder did some amazing shit in his day, the mere fact that you were able to bring a director back from the dead I think is leaps and bounds way more important than making Howard the Duck. So
well, yeah, our follow-up movie is on the making of Howard the Duck.
So,
Mike, I cannot.
Howard the Duck then goes nuts and kills everyone.
Mike, I cannot fault you on that logic in what was probably the most illogical pitch ever made in the movie history.
It's
like,
it's the executive in me. I got to be like, yeah, that'd be great and all, but really everyone's going to forget the movie because they'll just be like, holy shit, this director was resurrected to make a movie.
It's like the next thing, man. Like Blair Witch Project was a revolution.
Yeah, no one knew if it was real or fake.
I mean, people believe in seances and stuff, so actually this actually could be done effectively.
I am not denying that, but I don't know. Part of me was just like, give Howard more of the spotlight.
You got a good point. I liked what you have great reasoning there. So
yeah, I had to reason it out a little bit there, but I am curious, not that curious. All right, the next round here, the cast. Just to kind of go down the list, Staunch Cast had Danny DeVito, Kang 1 is dude from Get Out, Daniel, how you say his last name. Kang 2, CGI, Andy Serkis, played by Andy Serkis. President Ellen DeGeneres, Victoria Justice as Gwenpool, Mom is Sally Field.
Victoria, you got it.
Yeah. Three Geeks had, of course, Howard the Duck, played by Bill Burr. Emma Watson as liaison love interest, Glenn Close. John C. Reilly showing up again as Nova's ex Nyla, Beyonce, and a bunch of cameos from Benicio Del Toro, Jeff Goldblum, Wesley Snipes, Leah Thompson, and possibly a pedophile.
No pedophiles. Striking the pedophile.
Okay. All right, striking the pedophile.
We do not support pedophiles here, 3K.
All right. Good for you. I'm still going with the staunch casting, though.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Well, not because of their plot, too, because I know it's kind of weird because, yeah, why wouldn't I pick their cast to go with that plot? But also because there's actually some great character work I can see here being done by certain actors. I like the idea of a Danny DeVito voiced Howard the Duck. Sally Field would definitely be able to sell some legitimate emotion and feeling for what could be a very silly story.
Louis Black as a warrior duck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Louis Black as a warrior duck. I completely forgot about Louis Black as the warrior duck. Honestly, what drew me in, though, finally for the casting of this was because, well, you know what? I would like to see the Get Out guy as a villain. Straight up, like, mustache twirling type villain, and if you can do Kang 1, we'll go with that. So let's go with a staunch cast for the cast. Now down to the marketing. Three Geeks, Deadpool style marketing, fake products from beyond the known galaxy, 90s style random trailer, staunch cast, Disney tie-in with Donald Duck dying a horrific death.
Heroic.
There's heroic no way you sell Disney on that.
He's a heroic death. It's heroic too. It's PG-13.
No way sell Disney on that.
PG-13 death. Heroic. He takes out five dinosaurs and then dies.
Well, needless to say, you have a little that brand synergy there, and things like that. That would be the excuse to have him in there. Kang drinking Tang. Some Gwenpool tie-in. Louis Black addressing the audience, and some weirdness from Tommy Wiseau. This is either going to tie up everybody with both sides getting 2 points, or staunch will take the lead here. Oh, hang on a second. Let me put on my executive brain. You know what? We are gonna go with staunch cast.
What?
Yes!
Yep. I'm generally surprised, I gotta be honest. I was playing along at home here, and I'm like, easily Jason and Max have a better marketing plan than we do.
What?
Well, here's kind of the make or break thing is that, yeah, with a property like Howard the Duck, it's gonna get into that Deadpool style marketing, I feel, automatically. I feel that's the only real way to be able to really sell the audience on this character and this concept, especially the concept that we're going with regards to the story. So why not just go all out weird with it? Let's have the Disney synergy taking place there. You know, this is a character and this is kind of a world that's not held back by the conventional Marvel Studios rules. You're able to kind of go balls to the wall crazy. Let's get Donald Duck in there. Sure. Let's go for a really obscure kind of marketing stuff. Like, you know, they brought back Ecto Cooler for a stupid movie a couple of years ago. They can bring back Tang for a character named Kang.
Well, since we're going with the Kang drinking Tang, I also believe the soundtrack should be done by the Wu-Tang Clan.
Definitely.
Music? We haven't discussed music.
Oh, shit.
Because, as you know, the Wu-Tang is
the Method Deck, the Method Man. Oh, shit.
And honestly, thanks to the disaster artist, Tommy Wiseau is now like a recognizable name being tossed around your everyday conversation. So people would instantly recognize the name or the voice probably, or the performance of him narrating some Howard the Duck trailers for you. So
come see my movie. Oh, yeah, hi, Mark.
Not really my movie. Not my movie, though. I just narrate for it.
It's about a duck. It's about a duck. He does not have cancer, though.
He did not hit her. He did not.
Hey, what are you doing there?
Oh, hi, Howard.
Kang, you're tearing me apart.
Literally, like my arm from my body.
Kang's like, Sally Field, you're tearing me apart.
All right. I believe that is 3 points for the Staunch Cast. 1 point for the Three Geeks.
Wah, wah.
I gotta say, this has been one of the more entertaining Remake Revolutions so far, because I want to just throw it out there. You guys went all out for this. I wasn't expecting that much preparedness from either side.
Well,
John took it serious, and I just
it was. I'm not gonna lie. I called him what Monday. I think we were talking Monday. And I was pitching out ideas. Brian was pitching ideas back out, which you know, we were working really well together. And I was like, all right. And we ended the conversation. I'm like, we still got to figure out how to end this thing. We got to figure out a few other things. So at work Tuesday, I was just writing down bullet points on like a little notepad of some things. And then Wednesday, I typed them all up in a nice, neat Word doc, you know. And so Wednesday night, I'm like, here, dude, take a look at these. And Brian, what did you respond with?
I said, I'm crazy busy, so I'm not sure if I'll get to look at it. And I forgot all about it. I have the whole movie in my head, dude.
So I must confess, being the guy that I am, the personality I have, the next day I was like, when he sent me that message, I'm like, well, I got to finish this fucker. Let's do this. So I just started throwing things in there.
I was kind of Max remaking The Notebook with Howard Duck, Donald Duck, and Daisy Duck. He did not like that. And then I pitched a Quentin Tarantino bloody film where Howard the Duck is hunting down everyone involved with the original film.
Nice. Damn, that would have, I think, took us.
And apparently he gets to kill a pedophile on that one, so I feel like that people would be on board for this.
Yeah, you could have had it in there. You could have been killed. That would have been good.
So I got to say, like, this has been fun. That's what happens when you have some writers thrown into the mix, when they're creating stuff, not just on the fly, but improvising some things that end up pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a movie that I'm not into, man. So I'm into this now.
Kang!
My life stream.
There you go. I would definitely say, though, there is opportunity to incorporate some of Three Geeks' ideas into the mix. You could definitely have characters like the Nova Corps show up in this giant battle for the universe. You could still definitely tie it into like Marvel a little bit. The great thing about Marvel these days is that you have, your mainstream MCU stuff. I feel Howard the Duck doesn't necessarily need to be anchored into that too much. He could go off and do his own thing like Deadpool does with regards to the X-Men stuff, or like what they're doing with what they're going to be doing with the Spider-Man a little bit later in the year with the Spider-Verse movie.
Right, yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's the nice part about Howard the Duck was, is when you, Mike, said that was the movie we were going to remake, I was like, you have endless possibilities, because it doesn't have to hold true to the Avengers universe or the X-Men universe or the Spider-Man universe or whatever universe, you know. He's one of those fringe characters you could pretty much, like in DC, I feel like Lobo would be the same way. You could do just any damn thing you wanted to, and it would work.
Didn't they combine the two actually at one point? Someone did something called Lobo the Duck.
Oh, yeah, that was when DC was doing, they were doing like the, weren't those called like Amalgam?
Oh, Amalgam. That was the Marvel versus DC stuff. Oh, like they had Spider-Boy, which is Superboy and Spider-Man.
Yes.
And
Nightclaw or whatever.
Nightclaw, yeah. Wolverine and Batman combined.
Yeah. So. And because I have Lobo the Duck, and I think I have Assassins, because it was like Elektra and Catwoman maybe that they merged together.
Man, just think. Give it about maybe 15 years. Maybe we'll see some Amalgam movies. DC and Marvel will just be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just put them all together like we did back in the 90s. I would like to say a huge thank you to my guests, of course, Jason and Max from Three Geeks, John Orlando and Brian Elau, both from PVD Cast and Staunch Ambition. Thank you guys so much. It has been a very entertaining Remake Revolution. You've been listening to another episode of it here on MickGTV, youtube.com/MikeMickGTV. Have a good day, everybody, and
Whoa, that pizza really got the John.
Well, that was certainly an episode now, wasn't it? Funny, comical, unique, unusual. I mean, a lot of crazy ideas being thrown out there, but nonetheless, I had a blast on Remake Revolution. And as I mentioned before, when the rematch is set to go, when all the plans have been solidified and everything, I will let you know right here on the PVD cast. And I'd like for you to check out Mike McGee. Simply go over to YouTube and search Mike McGee TV to find all of his content. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike McGee TV. And since we're talking about Twitter, let me tell you where you can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. If you want to shoot me an email, you could do so. The address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And you could even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That being, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. Let me tell you where you can get your hands on this episode or any episode, as if you don't already know. The probably easiest way to do it is just to go to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But the PVDcast is also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and even the Echo Network. And for that, I know it's been a little bit of a longer episode, so I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous, stay independent.